Welcome to the People Building Podcast, brought to you by hypnotherapy and NLP trainer Gemma Bailey. If you're looking to create powerful, positive change in your life, please visit www.peoplebuilding.co.uk.
Hello people and welcome to the People Building Podcast on this day, Wednesday the 15th of December 2010. So, are we on the last show of the year? No, we've got one more on the 29th of December, but it's the last show before Christmas. So, with that in mind, and all these lovely festivities that are going on around us, be you people who celebrate Christmas or not, the temptations of lovely, delicious, fatty, bad for us foods are all out there. So today's show is going to be all about how we can avoid these foods that are not terribly good for us, and why on earth it is that sometimes we just can't. So that's the focus of today's show. Then, of course, later on we've got our relaxation session coming up, maybe even a little Christmas jingle at the end of the show, if you're lucky, if I can be bothered to go and find one. So let us start then by taking a look at why fatty foods are such so why we're so drawn to them, why we're so addicted to them. And interestingly, I heard this fact on a TV show not too long ago, actually, with a guy called Dr. Robert Winston, who is, if you ever get the chance to see any of his TV work, he does do the most fascinating programs, and it's always really well delivered. And he was talking about obesity, and why it is that we are so drawn towards fatty foods, foods which we logically know are bad for us, but it's almost as if our instincts draw us towards them. And particularly if we are feeling hungry, then it's almost like, you know, those are the foods that we want to reach for first. And here's why. So yes, there is a reason why. There's a reason why we are drawn towards the crisps and the chocolate and the chips and all of those foods that we know are naughty, naughty, naughty and full of fats. There is actually a reason why we are drawn towards them. And the reason is because those foods are really good fuel foods. The fatty foods give us fats for our body that we can hang on to and can use them as long-term fuel. And the reason why that's appealing to us is because instinctively, rooting way back to our ancestry, there was a time in the past when the person who caught the fattiest piece of meat, who shot the fattiest zebra or whatever our ancient ancestors may have been out hunting for, they were the people who survived the longest. So it's instinctive to us, it's in our genetic makeup that we are drawn towards these fatty foods, because in the past, the person who got the fat was the person who survived. And in fact, I found confirmation of this. I looked on a website called positivepath.net, and they said, to your body, fat is the fuel for survival. It's the richest source of energy, with more than twice the energy value of any other nutrient. Alcohol is the only other nutrient that comes close. An interesting, isn't it, that this time of year is also alcohol-fueled as well for many people. So not only are we eating the fatty, greasy foods and building up our fat supply that way, but we're also tending to be drinking lots of alcohol and building up even more fat reserves as a result of doing that. If you can get on top of that now, you don't have to worry about doing the whole big weight loss stuff, diet stuff, signing up for the gym stuff in the new year. So it's a good idea to be aware of this now so that you know what you can start to avoid already when you have all of these temptations of, you know, Christmas puddings and roast potatoes and all of these lovely, lovely foods that make us feel so good, particularly when it's a bit cold outside, but are actually probably not doing us all that much good. So it's a biological respect for fat that makes it so hard for people to defeat fat cravings. Indeed, we all have a basic instinct to eat fat. And it confirms here actually on the website that Australian Aborigines, when hunting in the wild, would eat the high fat part of the kill first. Scientists are suggesting that a brain protein called, and I'm going to try and pronounce this properly, galanine, is triggered in greater amounts when we eat fat. And they also suggest that those levels are increased when we go without eating for a period of time. This may explain why, when eating a packet of chocolate biscuits, a significant proportion of consumers have a great difficulty stopping at just one biscuit. It also offers an explanation as to why, when we're hungry, as we said earlier, we're most likely to crave fat. So there's a big link as well, which is coming to the surface between people's stress levels and the desire to eat fatty foods. And this is another thing for us to be aware of at this time of year, because is this time of year probably the most stressful time of year that there is? Most definitely, without a doubt. You know, people are concerned about finances, they're concerned about time, they're concerned about seeing family who they don't get on with. So the stress levels go up, there's more alcohol going into our system, and we're tempted by all of these wonderful foods that are around us too. So often under pressure, people are going to reach for fatty foods, and there's a couple of explanations as to why this might happen. At a psychological level, the emotional comfort that fatty food has played in life can drive you towards things like chocolate on a bad day. Because when you were crying as a child, you were comforted with fatty and sweet foods. Now, that might not always be the case, but if you go way back to when you were a baby, quite often, you know, parents would try to calm a crying baby by offering it milk. And certainly a mother's milk is incredibly sweet and very, very high in fat. So we've learned from a young age that if we're feeling emotional in some way, that we've got some kind of upset or negative emotion going on, that can be reduced by having access to these fatty foods, just as we had the fatty milk as babies. However, at a biological level, under stress, we tend to use our adrenaline system in that fight or flight mode. And fatty foods stimulate dopamine and noradrenaline, which are both responsible for giving us a rush to cope with a crisis. So if we're feeling stressed out, then the fatty foods can really give us that little kick that we might need. So if we're going to combat this, particularly if we look at the kind of stress levels element of it, then we need to get into the habit of pausing that stress before reacting and reaching for the chocolate biscuits or reaching for the extra mince pie. Foods high in dietary fibre, such as bran cereals and wholemeal breads, are suggested as ideal for getting rid of fat cravings. Now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll look at some of the other useful tips for you to know in overcoming the cravings for fat. This is Gemma from People Building, and I have a very special offer for you. As a podcast fan, you are entitled to 6 free CDs, which will teach you the 3 best NLP techniques and how to use them, how to hypnotize yourself for massive personal improvement, a full-length self-hypnosis session, and our secret skills disc. Visit www.specialofferfromgemma.com to get your 6 free CDs. And as a special bonus gift from me, I will also give you 1 month's free subscription to the People Building Members Club. As a member, you will receive each month a hypnosis script from the People Building Archive, which has been dissected to tell you all of the secret hypnotic language included. A monthly video podcast and an audio podcast, full length on CD, with content that is not shared in this show, NLP Uncovered, as each month we take something from the world of NLP and explain explain what it is and how to use it. You'll also receive a full-length self-hypnosis audio on disc each month in your members pack. Plus, you'll be invited to the People Building Members webinar, where we'll be speaking to the great and good from the world of hypnotherapy, NLP and self-development to give us all their very best ideas about how we can change and improve. To claim your 6 free CDs and 1 month's free membership to the People Building Members Club, visit www.specialofferfromgemma.com. Okay, so here now are some other important things for you to know in overcoming those cravings for fatty foods. Firstly, you need to start to identify whether the hunger that you're feeling is hunger for food or simply just for some kind of satisfaction. It might be emotional satisfaction, it might be satisfaction to see that the plate is empty, it might be satisfaction to just because you can, it might be satisfaction because it's that time of year and everybody else is doing it, might be satisfaction because you don't want to appear impolite and rude and you're at somebody's house. So whatever the satisfaction is, you need to identify what reason you are eating for. The one to be really wary of is the simple emotional satisfaction. And the way that you need to start monitoring this, something that can be perhaps quite helpful to do, is to do a bit of a food diary, to write down what you eat, when you eat, what time it is that you're eating it, and also to write down with that how you feel when you go to eat the food. This can help to highlight when you have an emotional eating issue. And for all of those other reasons, perhaps some of us might call them excuses, for eating when it is not necessary, quite simply the technique there is that you need to start getting a bit tougher on yourself. You need to stop buying into all of those excuses that you give yourself in those moments, such as, oh, but it doesn't matter if I just have this one because, or this is an exception because, or that I never normally do this and so I will this time because, blah, 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 blah. All of those sorts of statements that you might say to yourself that justify taking the action of eating foods that you do not need to have and do not really want to have, you need to start becoming aware of what you're saying to yourself in those moments and start disbelieving it, because it's just the excuses that you give yourself that keep you going, that keep you giving yourself permission to take that unnecessary action. And that's what needs to change. When you start to give yourself better quality reasons, then you'll start to feel a difference towards the things that you're compelled to do. Now, that's not necessarily an easy step to make, and it does mean that you need to start getting a bit firmer with yourself, perhaps, and recognizing when you're giving yourself some kind of nonsense excuse and telling yourself inside with a very firm voice that that is a nonsense excuse and that you have a greater love and you have greater self-worth for yourself than to buy into that rubbish excuse. Ultimately, by refusing that food that you do not need to have, you are showing love and appreciation for yourself. And this is where many people go wrong with dieting and losing weight, is that they see the diet as something negative. They see what it is that they're going to miss out on. They recognize what they're going to lack, what they're going to lose as a result of doing that diet. And then it takes on the perception of being like a punishment. Deciding to eat healthily or to lose weight is not ever a punishment. Doing that for yourself is showing that you love yourself. And when you put that new frame around it, so in NLP we call this reframing, when you put that new frame around it, it makes it so much more palatable to be able to take on that kind of a challenge. You know, it actually suddenly starts to seem appealing to realize that when you do this, you're doing yourself a massive favor, that you're showing how much you care for yourself by taking care of yourself in the best possible way. So that's a really important thing to do too. And for those of you who can't quite get your head around that way of thinking yet and need a little bit more leverage, so a bit more of a push, then the best thing I can suggest to you is this. If you think about a food that you are compelled to eat, and start to reduce the quality of the way in which you remember and view that food, because the chances are the way that you remember the food is much tastier than the way the food tastes in real life anyway. You have a much better memory of it than how it actually tastes when you come to experience it. So if you think about the memory of that food and just start to reduce the quality of that memory, and you can do this very simply by distorting the color, so perhaps draining the color out and changing it to black and white. You can do it by moving the image further away from you, by shrinking that image down, by putting a frame around the image, by moving the image to a different location within your field of vision. So wherever it is that your eyes stare out to imagine that image, just move your eyes somewhere else and put the image over there. And you'll notice that you start to feel very differently about it. Now, it might not mean that you absolutely hate it, but it will certainly start to reduce the power that that the memory of that food has over you, such that you don't feel quite as compelled in the future to be drawn towards it and to consume it unnecessarily. There is something else you can add into that. This is an NLP technique called a like to dislike. And basically, it's where we extract all of that code that I've just told you about, the details about whether it's in color or black and white, near or far, where it's located, bright or dim, and so on. And we take down all of that information. And then we also take down all of the information for a food that you do not like, which is similar. And when we look at the differences between those codes, we quite simply apply the code for the food that you do not like into the image and memory of the food that you're compelled to eat. So basically, the food that you're compelled to eat takes on the code of not liking it. It's a very, very powerful submodality technique. And something that I always add into it, which you can do even if you know nothing about NLP and submodalities, is to imagine yourself consuming that food and inside the food that you like, imagining little bits and pieces of the food that you dislike. The food that you do not like has crept into the food that you love. And so when you bite into it and you start chewing it, you suddenly get undertones of this food that you absolutely hate eking through, and it's totally ruining the food that you love. And worse than that, within that food that you love, oh my goodness, what is that hidden away inside there? Could it be? There's a hair. There's a hair hidden away inside that food that you love so much. Oh, and I don't know whose hair it is, and I don't know which part of their body it could possibly have come from. But it's definitely in there. It's tucked away in there, in that lovely food. And you're chewing away on it, and that nasty hair has got caught in between your back teeth. Just imagine that right now. Imagine eating that food that you love, and not only has it got bits of the food that you absolutely hate in there, but it's also got somebody's dirty hair, and it's got wedged in one of your back teeth, and you cannot get it out. And so you try to swallow to get rid of it, but only half the hair goes down your throat, and the other half is still in your mouth. Oh, how awful. So you put your fingers in to try and reach for it, to try and take that bit of hair out and try and salvage whatever you can from the taste of the food that you used to love. But as soon as you stick your fingers in your mouth, it makes you start to gag, reaching for that hair, reaching and reaching. And so you're trying to swallow it all down, and you're just going to have to do your best to get that hair out so that you can swallow the whole lot all in one go. Can you imagine that happening? And I wonder how many of you now are thinking about that food that you used to absolutely love and just not feeling quite as drawn to it as you used to. And perhaps you did that with chocolate, perhaps it was chips or crisps or roast potatoes or something else that you used to enjoy. But you can start to realize how eating any of those unhealthy, unnecessary foods just isn't quite as compelling as it used to be. Just doesn't feel quite the same way anymore. And all that took was just a couple of minutes and using your imagination. So let me know the results that you have from that, because there's always someone who gets results from that kind of a technique. If you really focus and you spend a significant period of time creating those images for yourself and using your imagination in that way, then you can really achieve some very powerful and lasting results. I had a lady who came to see me who wanted to lose weight, specifically because she ate too much chocolate. She had a weight problem. And just by cutting out the chocolate, she knew that it would have a significant impact on her ability to lose the weight. And so I did that technique with her, a much more extended version, and we did it in hypnosis. And I feel sick doing it because I put so much energy and effort into what I'm saying as I'm describing the experience for her. And it comes with a warning. If you do something like that, then and you really do it in the detail that I did in her session, then you can expect that that person may never want to eat that food ever again. So they have to be willing to fully and completely let it go for good, because they may not ever want it again. And equally, I've had people come to see me because they think that they want to stop eating chocolate. And when I give them that warning and say, well, you do realize as a result of doing this exercise, you may never want to look at the stuff ever again. The thought of it might make you physically sick. And they change their mind and they'd rather hang on to that chocolate just in case one day they might need it and decide to do things in their own way. And not yet fully prepared to let it go completely. But the lady who did sent me a lovely testimonial and said she hasn't looked at the stuff since. It doesn't make her feel physically sick to think about it anymore, but she just doesn't feel the same way about it anymore. And that's the key thing. You do not have to stop eating fats. And actually, it's important that you do eat certain fats. Only about 10% of your fat should be the full-on saturated nasty fats each day. So it's only a small percentage that you actually need to have. And as well as it being important to have them, it's also important that you know how best to control them and to take control of your own eating habits, because it's your body after all. Right, quick break, then back for relaxation.
People Building is your hypnotherapy and NLP authority on hypnosis scripts, hypnosis audios, articles, ebooks, podcasts, videos, training, and therapy. Visit www.peoplebuilding.co.uk for all your self-development needs.
And we have now reached that point in the show where it is time for you to get yourselves nice and comfortably relaxed, and you will be unable to listen to this particular section of the show if you're currently driving or operating machinery or at any other time when you need to be awake and alert. But for everyone else now, it is time now for you to comfortably relax and to close your eyes. To just pay attention to your breathing, allowing that breathing to become deep, slow, and rhythmic. Relaxing those thoughts, relaxing your own mind. In a comfortable way, an easy way, at just the right speed for you to totally and fully relax as quickly as I say the words deeper and deeper. And relaxing twice as much now each time you hear me say the words deeper and deeper. Because you want to be in control of your body. That's why you're allowing yourself to relax deeper and deeper. Just as quickly as you want to. It's your decision to let go and do this comfortably now. In the same way that you can make choices about how you can best care for your body, and you want to care for your body, you want to look after it, just as your body looks after you, keeps you safe with those instinctive reflex reactions. And yet some of those instinctive reactions are out of date and do not serve you. That instinctive need to eat more food than you really need to have, or to consume too much fatty, greasy foods is not useful to you. There was a time, a long, long time ago in the past, when that instinct was important. But you're not starving now. Now you have access to many resources. Quick and easy resources. You can eat less and still be full, because you know that you can eat a little amount a while later. That there is plenty. There is always enough. And so that out of date, unconscious instinct can begin to fade away now. You can give yourself permission now to let it go. Let go of out-of-date beliefs, concerns, and worries, which do not apply to you now that you live in a life of plenty. There is enough healthy, nutritious, and wonderful foods for you to enjoy. You do not need to stock up or keep back supplies. You can let it go. There's plenty more. There's plenty for everyone. And as you become more comfortable in that idea, in this experience, you'll find that your attitude toward food is changing. Not quite so much of those fatty, greasy foods, or that man-made stuff, and much more of the natural, nutritious foods of the earth. Now, I'm going to count back from 5 up to 1. When I reach 1, it will be time for you to open your eyes and be fully and completely awake and alert. So 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. With eyes open now, bright and breezy and wide awake. So thank you very much for tuning into the show. I hope that it's been an appropriate show for this time of the year, and has given you some tips and some guidance on keeping yourself healthy and slim, ready to go into 2011. So we have one more show left for the rest of the year, and that is on Wednesday the 29th of December 2010. But between now and then, I bid you a very, very happy festive season, and for all those of you who care to join me in having a very Merry Christmas, then I wish one of those to you too. Have a lovely time, and I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Bye for now. This is Gemma from People Building, and I have a very special offer for you. As a podcast fan, you are entitled to 6 free CDs, which will teach you the 3 best NLP techniques and how to use them, how to hypnotize yourself for massive personal improvement, a full-length self-hypnosis session, and our secret skills disc. Visit www.specialofferfromgemma.com to get your 6 free CDs. And as a special bonus gift from me, I will also give you 1 month's free subscription to the People Building Members Club. As a member, you will receive each month a hypnosis script from the People Building Archive, which has been dissected to tell you all of the secret hypnotic language included. A monthly video podcast and an audio podcast, full length on CD, with content that is not shared in this show, NLP Uncovered, as each month we take something from the world of NLP and explain what it is and how to use it. You'll also receive a full-length self-hypnosis audio on disc each month in your members pack, plus you'll be invited to the People Building Members webinar, where we'll be speaking to the great and good from the world of hypnotherapy, NLP and self-development to give us all their very best ideas about how we can change and improve. To claim your 6 free CDs and 1 month's free membership to the People Building Members Club, visit www.specialofferfromgemma.com.